more.
Hi, friend. So excited that you are with me today because this is a really, really special podcast. And I get to be with a friend that I have known for a long time. And we've lived really similar lives in a lot of ways and have a tremendous amount in common. So this is going to be a really fun podcast while also having the depth and the encouragement that we hope that you take from it. But Jackie Velasquez, you're such a sweet friend. I just want to hug you.
I know. Dude, I am reaching for hands. I know. I'm like, okay. So the thing about Rebecca that everyone should know is, first of all, she's real.
Oh, and so are you.
Yeah, but the thing about you that I've always had so much respect for is the fact that you're the same person on the stage as you are off.
Thank you, my friend.
And because I'm just like, when someone seems fake or not authentic, it just kind of bugs me.
I know, me too.
But for you, like, I always had that beautiful respect for the fact that she's the same person on stage as she's off stage, which I always had so much respect for and loved.
Thank you, my friend. So that means a lot.
No, it's true though. Promise.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate the encouragement. That means a lot. Well, this is just really sweet because we have just memories from back in the day. And I feel like with, you know, motherhood and marriage and music and all the things that have been happening in the last decade and a half, we just haven't seen each other.
I haven't seen you since
since I got married.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
So I think the last time I saw you, we were in Holland.
Yeah.
And I was pregnant with my oldest son. So I was, I don't know, it was my first trimester. I was really sick and I was uncomfortable. I think you were performing at an event and my husband's band was also performing at the event.
Yeah.
So I think that was the last time I saw you. And he's 13 now.
So it was at least 14 years.
For sure.
Yeah. I had in my head about a decade and a half. But
yeah, that is crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
But you look the same.
Well, you look amazing. You look the same too. You look so good, girl.
That's because it's Botox or something. So tell me, how, like, you're 10 years married and you've got the 3 kids.
Yes.
So you've got the 2 girls.
Yeah. 7, nearly 3. And so it's Gemma, Imogen, and then River.
Imogen. How do you spell it?
Imogen.
I love that.
And then you have a Zealand and a Soren.
Yes, Zealand.
Girl, I'm well versed on you. I've been reading your book. I've caught up on all the things, Jackie. It's been so sweet. But man, just even looking at your journey and reading a lot about just your story, I kind of knew it back in the day that we were tracking together on so many things.
For sure.
But there's so many mirror things, like starting so young. I was 16. You were 16, right? 17?
I signed the record deal when I was 14.
Yeah.
And I
15
started
for
making
me.
The record when I was 14, 15.
Gosh.
It came out. I think I was 15 going on 16
when
it came out. So
slightly younger than me. Yeah.
So
94 for me. Yeah. Oh, and we're 2 years apart.
Yeah, we're 2 years apart.
Yeah.
And so what's funny to me is, like, at the time it was like a whirlwind.
It was for me. Yeah.
It was just crazy, crazy.
And you're just responding to the next thing and gearing up for the next thing. And
yeah. So much so that you actually forget what just happened because you're preparing for the next thing constantly.
Oh, I know. I mean, I felt the same.
It's such a gift. It's like, wow, yes. God, thank you for this beautiful, this beautiful gift that I am so undeserving. There are tons of other better singers in the world. But for some reason, God, you know, he chooses certain people and certain things and certain journeys.
Yes.
And so, yeah. So we both started traveling super young and we both were purity girls.
Yes.
True
both talked about that. Yes. Absolutely. Super. We did. And we ended up both marrying musicians too.
I know.
Isn't that wild?
And see, I said, I'm not going to marry
musicians. I did too, Jackie.
You?
I totally said that I would never marry a musician. And then I did.
What were we thinking? Except we were the smartest people in the world because of who we married.
And see, you got such a wonderful man in Nick Gonzalez. Man, and I got such an amazing man in Cubby Fink. I feel like we married sweet, strong men of God, right?
It did.
Like, who are just rocks. And we needed that, both of us.
Well, I think for me, when I was like when Nick and I started dating again, because we dated many times and broke up and dated many times and broke up. But when we dated this last time, we ended up getting married. I kept thinking to myself, I don't deserve him. Like, God, I don't feel like I deserve him. He's amazing.
Aww.
And, but then I was reminded, I am.
You're amazing.
No.
You're amazing too. Yes, God reminded you. Daughter of mine, your identity is amazing.
Exactly. Mm. I am worthy.
Yes.
Of his love.
Yes.
Because of Jesus and his grace that we are constantly thrown and, you know, thrust upon us that we're so undeserving of. So
that's beautiful.
So I just love that we've gotten this far and you know, well, we're 14 years married, 14 and a half years
amazing.
Married, and you guys are 10. So I'll give you the secrets later.
Yes. Well, see that I was thinking about this podcast and, you know, generally I have kind of a theme and a target of what content I'd like to get to. Cause really we want this to be a very real conversation. Like, I've got my cup of tea here.
You've got my coffee.
You got your coffee. I've had my very strong cup of coffee at the beginning of the day. So this is why I'm doing tea. But
this is like four.
Jackie.
Which is
so
probably why
good.
I'm like jittery. Oh. It's not nerves. It's just actual jitters from coffee.
Oh, that's so funny. But we're having this like coffee tea conversation about the real things of life. And there's no posing. There's no like we've got this thing figured out. It's we're journeying together and we're learning together. And I love getting to be the receiver of all these tips and tricks on life and family and faith and marriage. I mean, it like this podcast is so life-giving to me because I'm learning from people whose story has given them something to share about. And so I actually left it pretty open for this podcast and it's what I've learned. And so in a few minutes, we're going to get to that. But I wanted to ask you about something funny that I don't know the answer to this story, even in my research of you, but I think both of us have something in common with the whole stalker thing. What's your craziest stalker story?
Oh,
because I know that you have them because I got some crazy ones too.
I have two that were pretty crazy.
Okay,
so,
give me one. Give me your best one.
Okay, I'll give you the best one.
Okay, sure.
So,
because I figured this would be very interesting for people. Not something that we probably talk about very much.
I never even think about it.
Yeah, let's not creep out the children though. Maybe if there's some
no creeping, no creeping. So my craziest kind of stalker thing was, I got a wedding dress from a Middle Eastern man who wrote a letter in blood.
No way.
Saying that God told him he was supposed to marry me.
No.
So I needed to prepare myself for him.
Oh my.
So I thought that was super weird. But then there's other stuff that happened, like the time I had to get a restraining order because a guy was parking
in front
of my house.
I got one too. Yes.
That stuff
got
weird. I was like, dude, I appreciate that, you know.
It's flattering in its own weird way, but
I mean,
not.
God told you, but he hasn't told me.
We had to say that one quite a few times.
Sometimes it's just, you know,
we need to back off a little.
Mind stuff.
Yes.
They just maybe need prayer.
Yeah. Well, one of the times talking about Europe, you know,
what happened?
A second ago, somebody brought a ring. They had the whole ring and everything, and we're going to propose. So that was one. But probably one of the most bizarre ones, and I did have a death threat at one point. I think I was doing something.
Did
you did too?
Yes.
Okay.
I forgot about that until you said that.
Yeah.
That
and it was GMA
crazy.
Week, which was Gospel Music Week in Nashville, which is a ton of people, and that was the culmination with the Devil Woods. So there's a lot going on, and you're very public that week. I mean, you remember what
accessible.
Those weeks were like.
Super accessible, constantly.
And there was a death threat that came through, and the label took it really seriously. And
what year was this?
Probably late 90s, I would think. And I mean, I had a song saying, you know, wait for me. Like, so some people thought they heard it on the radio and I was singing that song for them about, you know, purity and waiting. And so I think that confused people. But this particular guy was like, well, if I can't have you, no one's going to have you. And so that was the note that came through. So they ended up assigning Garth Brooks' security guy to me for that week. And I remember going out on the Ryman like stage for an event that week and just feeling really vulnerable. Like, oh my, you know, like my life.
My last time
exactly.
Ever?
So that was a little crazy. I've barely ever told that story, but I figured because you and I have that
stuff in
common that we could bring it up.
So what's funny, Rebecca, I remember that that year at GMA. I think that people were telling each other.
Really?
About that whole thing.
Really? You were maybe at it with me.
Well, we were
just talking
events,
about
though.
Right.
But
not
I
often.
Remember just people kind of. There were whispers going around. Hey, guys, you know. So, yeah.
Yeah, because they came to the Dove Awards with me as well. The security guy did.
Okay.
So
yeah.
Maybe it was at that.
I bet. Because I was there.
Isn't that wild?
That's
so wild.
But the funny thing is when you
look. But God protected us.
Yeah. I know.
Sorry.
That's the
Keep
thing.
Going.
He protected us.
Yeah.
That's what I was actually about to say.
Okay.
We're thinking totally protected
the
us. But the thing is, for me, I'm thinking to myself. Well, I was, you know, 16, 17, 18. We were so young.
Mm.
Thank God for his protection, but also thank God that we had parents and people
yes.
around us who were watching out for us.
Because absolutely.
Sometimes I look at the, you know, the young singers that are coming up nowadays.
Especially in mainstream too.
Yeah. Compassion.
I know, me too.
For them, because I think to myself, like when Britney Spears was going through her stuff, I was thinking, I just want to reach out. I want to
yes.
hug her and say, I get it.
Yes.
I get it. And yes. people are going to talk and they're going to say stuff, but just know that you are loved
yeah.
and seen.
Yes.
Because at times you feel kind of
unprotected.
Not seen and
yeah.
you feel kind of vulnerable to the world.
Yes.
So thank God for good parents
I
and
know.
Just family circuit. Because, and I think that's what we're trying to do for our families now, to have
yes.
a strong family circuit to so our kids feel that protection, feel that they are seen and loved and known. Because that's all we want to feel like in this world.
So, we do.
Especially as females.
Yes. And as mama bears, like you and I are, we want to provide that safe place for our kids where they can be the fullness of themselves because they know that they're safe, you know?
I have a bizarre question for you.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So
I love it.
The only person I could probably ask this.
Yeah.
So because I was homeschooled, you know,
yeah.
backseat of
that
a
was
car
another thing that we had
time.
In common. Yes.
Yeah, homeschooled.
Yeah, exactly.
So traveling homeschooled. So you don't really develop friendships because if you are homeschooled nowadays, they're like co-ops. And so you can have like friendships, but if you're traveling.
Yeah, that's
and you're
hard.
Also homeschooled. So for you, like now that you're a mom and you have your babies, do you think to yourself, I want them to have a different life than the one I had? I want them to have normality to experience like school and like that stuff. What do you think?
Well, so I, in my upbringing, I had both. I had kind of normal school experience when I was in Australia and then I started homeschooling when I moved to the US. So I kind of had both experiences and appreciated both experiences. And so now what we're doing with Gemma, our oldest who's 7, we're actually doing a homeschool hybrid. So she's going to a tutorial 2 days a week. And
but
then she's having homeschooling and she's developing friendships. So she's kind of got that hybrid of both. But because I'm doing some music and with my husband's calling, which also involves travel, like we wanted the flexibility of homeschooling so we could go on the ministry adventures that God has for us together as a family.
Yeah.
So we liked the flexibility of homeschooling, but I like the normal life, like you're talking to, of school for her. So
yeah.
the hybrid works kind of for
the
us.
Experiences.
Yes.
Like the experience of a typical fourth grader, third
yes.
grader.
Yes.
Because like for me, I look back, like I started homeschooling when I was 9 years old.
Yeah.
My dad started traveling as an evangelist. So
yes.
because I was so young, I had to go with them.
Yes.
So I lived in the backseat of a car for like
wow.
3 years. So, and I would do my schoolwork. Abeka was my
yes,
curriculum.
Yes, I did some Abeka too.
Did you?
Yeah.
So I would do my Abeka curriculum in the backseat of the car.
Mm.
And I would always like have these like visions of what people's lives were like that were not homeschooled, like what
yes.
school was like, what like,
yes.
you know, having the experience of being like a cheerleader, you
yes.
know, I never got to do that.
The normal things. Yeah.
Because I guess I was leading a life that a lot of other people might've been dreaming about.
That is glamorized.
That normality.
Exactly. No, I totally relate to that.
Yeah.
It's funny because we have friends who have 7 girls and growing up in Australia, they traveled the country in their motorhome. And I thought, gosh, their life looks so exciting and so adventurous. And I'm doing the normal school thing. And I was like, man, I would love to do that. Not go to school and
right.
go on the road.
Yeah.
Then I ended up getting that. and then kind of wanting the normal life of like,
I wonder what that's like to go to prom.
I wonder what it's like to get to go to a movie theater and see a movie with some friends. Like when I would get to do that was the most exciting thing. Like it was just the normal stuff. So we kind of all want what we don't have, I feel like, in life, you know, and it's finding that contentment where we're at and the joy of it where we're at, which reminds me, I wanted to kind of read a couple quotes from your book because, and I want to get back to the, what you've learned in marriage, in parenting, and in faith in just a second, because I really want to get to these like nuggets of what you've learned in your life. But there was some amazing things that I was reading in your book, and your book is titled, When God Rescripts Your Life, Seeing Value, Beauty, and Purpose When Life is Interrupted. But I wanted to share some of this inspiration with people because I think this just really was super encouraging to me. You said, and sister, can I just tell you, any dreams we have that make us ungrateful before our God, any dreams that are allowed to spiral into disappointment with our today and dissatisfaction with our now, well, those are the kinds of dreams, in quotes, we need to do a self-check on. And then you said, God's going to interrupt us. I'm getting goosebumps, girl. From time to time. God's going to interrupt us from time to time, and he's going to have a spin on our dreamy stories that we didn't see coming. Embrace the interruption. Listen for his interruption. Interpretation, yes. And then begin to dream new dreams and allow him to repurpose the fulfillment of this one into a passion for the next. Girl, such good stuff. Do you want to expand on that? You're getting teary.
Oh, yeah.
You're getting teary.
Because
it's so powerful.
We all have interruptions.
Yes.
Like we all have this plan and this vision of where our life is going to go. It's going to look like this.
It's going
to
be perfect.
Like a movie. It's going to be perfect. It's going to be just, you know, everything I've ever dreamt of. Oh. And then
life happens.
And then life happens.
Yeah.
And then a lot of times our life happens because of bad choices we make. Poor choices we make. Sometimes life happens, the yucky stuff in life happens because it's just how it's not our dream, but it's God's plan for us. So it's like, it's, and so often we can have this like concept of like, I feel called to do this. I feel like God is calling me to do this. Well, sometimes, yeah, maybe God is calling you to do something, but sometimes it's just, it's you dreaming versus actually God's calling.
Yeah.
And it's super easy to confuse those two.
Definitely.
It happens constantly.
Definitely.
So like, okay, so for me, in my family, in our life, my oldest son, who is 13, his name is Zealand. And when Zealand was born, I looked at him and I just saw the most incredible human being that the world had ever known. Because, I mean, he was born 10 fingers, 10 toes. He was like, it was the first boy that I didn't have to wear the right thing or say the right thing or wear makeup that was just in love with me.
He adored you.
And I was in love with him.
Yes.
It was just perfect. And I had these beautiful visions and versions of what his life was going to look like because he was going to have a super normal life. He wasn't going to be crazy on the road traveling all the time.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to be, he was just going to, you know, be like the football player and be super popular in school, just like all the movies I used to watch.
Yeah.
When I would be finished with my homeschooling in the backseat of the car, I would watch all these movies that we'd pick up at truck stops and in the VCR.
We did it too.
VHS.
Yep.
So I had all these visions and dreams for him. He, as time went on, you know, he grew. And then, of course, second son was born. Dear Lord, Soren, he's awesome. He's the best baby brother. He's my sweet baby. So when Zealand was about four-ish, there's a lot of time frames. But when he was little, we started noticing he wasn't meeting the milestones of other kids his age, you know, so we just decided, well, typically in those situations, I love to bury my head in the sand because that's just easier. But obviously with my son, I couldn't bury my head in the sand.
Yes.
So we got him tested and it came back with, you know, a pervasive developmental delay. Cool. I can live with that.
Yep.
He's just delayed. He'll catch up.
Yep.
Well, you know, time went on and we started noticing that he wasn't really catching up. So came time to start kindergarten. And so thankfully, because of this concept of a super normal life, we were in public school.
Yep.
And we chose an incredible like area neighborhood for this public school. So
yep.
It was, you know, I learned a word I'd never heard before. It was this word, IEP, Individualized Educational Program.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, what does this mean? So they set up this time and I meet with these, you know, psychologists, these counselors for kindergarten year for Zealand. And it's so exciting. So he's going to have help. He's going to catch up. It's going to be an amazing year. So time went on. Comes time to second grade and we have to have another meeting about Zealand. And he, I guess what's that word?
IEP?
Pediatrician.
Pediatrician.
I couldn't think of the word. His pediatrician and the school system got together and they had to give Zealand an official diagnosis so he could continue, because next year in third grade they were going to start the testing, the state testing. And
yes.
All that stuff. So you kind of have to have a plan.
Third grade's
for
a
each
big deal.
Kid. Yeah.
We're learning that in first grade.
Yeah. Sure. So, right.
Yeah.
So, you know, that time came and they all got together and they gave him the diagnosis, which was autism.
Hmm.
They said, Mr. and Mrs. Gonzalez, it was this big meeting with this huge conference table and it was who's who, people from the district, like everywhere.
Oh my.
We're in this meeting and they said, he's autistic. And I just, was like, no, he's not. Because that's not what I dreamt for him. That's not the plan that I had for my son. He's going to be normal. Like he's going to be typical, right? Because I mean, my whole life I've been singing about God, singing to God, singing for my husband too.
Yes.
Our whole lives have been based around ministry.
Yes.
You're going to tell me that my son is going to struggle to continue. He's going to continue to struggle to communicate, because I know that when I was pregnant with him, I felt like God was calling him into ministry. I just knew that he was going to minister into people's lives. But
yeah.
How can he minister if he can't communicate?
Mm.
I mean, that's like core for ministry, right? So, so in that meeting, I cried.
Aww.
And I went home and I remember that night just laying in bed. And my husband was really strong. Nick was really strong for me.
Yeah.
And I could hear him. While I was laying in bed, I could hear him in the shower, and that's when he broke down. He started sobbing. He didn't want to do it in front of me, of course.
Oh, bless him.
But he was sobbing for you know, for the future, for our son. What does this look like? This
right.
is like,
it's unknown. Yeah.
What's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
So I was very angry with God, like very angry with him for like months, for 6 months. Just, I remember just being yelling at him, just saying, this is not fair. I've been doing everything, trying, you know, in your name. This right. is not the way it's supposed to go. This is not what the future holds for my son. And the funny thing is he didn't talk back to me. Like he wasn't saying anything to me. He also was not saying anything good to me. He wasn't saying anything bad. He wasn't chastising me for being angry with
right.
him.
Right. He can handle it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when you look at Psalms,
yes,
David was like
super
bipolar all over the place.
Yes.
Just so.
He
can handle it.
Yeah.
So it was about 6 months. And then I hit this point where I was like, it was like a mourning period, I guess, if
yeah,
you will.
Yeah, definitely.
I had to mourn the dreams I had for my son.
Yeah.
To begin to dream new dreams for him.
Yes. Yes. It's all a process of letting go, right? And
yeah.
trusting God, his heart
exactly.
for your son. Yeah.
I had to trust that God loves my son more than I do.
Girl, that's it right there. Gosh, that ministers to me so much. You have no idea.
And it's hard, but it's real. So,
thank you for that word, because I needed that with my kids. I fear for them too, you know?
We try to control so much, but at the core for the need to control is fear.
It is.
You want the best.
Yes.
But we are not God and we are not their savior. Only God the Father can do that. So we are without.
And you know what? The other thing is, if we parent from a place of fear, we coddle and we over control and we don't let them we don't point them to trusting in Jesus. We point them to us being their provider and their provision and their protector. We're not saying Jesus is going to look after you. Like, and so they feel that. They feel that suppression of it. So we can't parent from that place of fear. Yeah. And that's what I'm like, I'm dealing with it. I have small children. So I feel like, oh, if I just keep an eye on all this and that, then bad things won't happen to them. And it's this place that God is just coming, bringing back to me, like literally this week, like, trust me with them. I know what's best. Like, so you saying that, girl, it's a word in season for me. It is. So thank you. And for someone listening right now, I know that people are moved to tears right now because of your vulnerability.
And that's the hardest thing to do sometimes.
To but, be vulnerable, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. To admit we're still in process, that we're figuring it out day by day with God.
So many times we look at, like, we look at our lives and we go, we're handed something that we did not expect.
And weren't prepared for whatsoever. My miscarriages, I was not.
Right.
Yeah, so I get it. I mean, on that level, on the grief, I get it.
And I bet you were like going, why me?
What the heck? Like, what just happened?
Why me? God, why me? So it takes us stepping out of that why me and asking the right question, which is what I had to do. Why not me?
Hmm.
Why not me? Because maybe God saw something in you and in I, or in someone listening, see something in you that you don't see in yourself. Strength, courage. What is it? I know in me, he saw something I couldn't see, which was strength.
Mm. Oh, girl, you're so strong.
Not when it comes to my kids.
So I relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he saw something. I don't like conflict and I don't like confrontation, but he gave me a son that I constantly have to go into the school system and you know, I have to fight for my son because he can't fight for himself. So I'm constantly this person where I'm getting
out of my comfort zone. You're an advocate for him.
An advocate for
myself. Wow.
And that's not my comfort zone.
Wow.
I'm a natural on Myers-Briggs. I'm an INFP. So I'm introvert, intuitive, feeling, perceiving, but I don't like conflict or confrontation.
Oh, wow.
But what's interesting is God saw something I couldn't see in me. So he saw something, and it's something that you're going, this is not the way it was supposed to go.
Mm.
But he saw something in you because of how he could use you and your story to walk with others.
You know, you bring up something for me that I feel like I've kind of wrestled with. It's this like idea of, you know, we take that scripture of he won't give us more than we can bear, or and I think that we take that like, oh, well, he'll never push us so far to the extreme that we can't bear it. Well, actually, the scripture, the intent of it is he won't ever give us more than with his help we can bear. So he won't load us. Yes. He won't overload us with something that is too much for him. Of course he's not going to, but he will actually give us more than we can bear alone.
Oh yes, yes, for sure.
He will.
Because, I mean, that happens on a
regularly,
on a daily basis,
right?
Sometimes.
Right. It's more than we can bear.
I can't do this
without him.
With you,
yes.
I can do it.
Totally.
But on my own, I'm not. Yeah. I'm not strong enough.
Yes.
So it's when you look back at the dreams that you had, like we both have had, you go on, this is not what I planned.
This is not the plan.
But
yeah.
He interrupts those.
Yeah.
He interrupts our best laid plans constantly.
Yeah.
And I think, and that's why I said that. And we have to listen for his interpretation because oftentimes we confuse our dreams with God's calling.
Yeah.
When it's really what he wants, because that's being in his perfect will is the perfect place to be. And sometimes
yes.
it doesn't look the way we thought it would look.
Yes. So you became an advocate for your son. How do you feel like it impacted your marriage, like for good and for bad? Like what would be what you've learned on a marriage level through this journey?
Okay, so what I find is fascinating, after you realize that you're a special needs parent, I know that's not always politically correct, but I don't really mind. It's like, yeah, I have a son with special needs. That's fine. So typically in marriages, the divorce rate goes up even higher. Like it's like, I think double.
Really?
In couples that have a special needs child.
Okay.
But what's cool about my husband and I, because we truly believe that a marriage is, it's to make you holy.
Yes.
To make you holy.
Sacred Marriage. Did you read that book?
Have you heard of it? No.
Well, see, okay, I was given it early in marriage.
Okay.
And I knew that the concept was marriage is not meant to make you happy. It's meant to make you holy.
Yeah.
And I refused to read it because I was like,
really?
No, it's going to make me holy and happy. Like, but now, like 10 years in, you know, and we started going through, you know, stuff like our first 3 years, I feel like were pretty easy. And then 3, 4, 5 were really like challenging, curveball after curveball. Like my husband, you know, going through really hard vocational stuff, losing kind of a dream job and transitioning to other stuff and not knowing what the future held, miscarriages, like multiple, like just infertility, real big challenges. And so, you know, in those times, it's like, okay, Lord, this was something I didn't anticipate. This is something I can't deal with. We're both feeling beaten up. Like, we need you and we need to turn to each other, not away from each other, but this is real hard. And so I feel like God taught us a lot about clinging to him and not making an idol of each other or our marriage, but also coming to each other in our vulnerability with right where we were at instead of turning away. Because often I think we want to isolate in our pain. You know, we want to just kind of deal with it. But no, like, God calls us to weather those storms together. And then I know I've said this before on this podcast, but my brother Luke, I don't know if he found this phrase somewhere else or if he came up with it, but it's marriage equity. When you weather the storms together, you've got this marriage equity that is so strong and so powerful because you've gone through the hard stuff together and you've gotten to the other side.
Uh-huh.
And so it's almost like you can look back and go, well, we went through that. We went through that and we were tried and we're strong. Yeah.
Yeah. We're strong. Stronger than ever.
Yeah. So we've got this marriage equity. And I loved that. I'd never heard it before he said that.
I'm not sure.
He probably didn't come up with it, but it's a powerful. Luke, you are smart. but I loved that. And I feel like.
Really cool.
So what did you guys do then? Like together?
Well, I think for us, it brought us closer together because it was like that whole concept of like, he's ours.
Yes.
He's our dude.
Yes.
So whatever we have to do, we are going to make it
team.
Happen. So at that time I was doing radio. So I was able to be super involved at the school. So I was like the room parent. I did everything. So I wanted to make sure that they could see that I'm here.
Yes.
I'm in this building every time that I'm allowed to be in this building.
Yes.
Because I need you to pay attention and watch my kid constantly.
Yeah.
I want the best care for my child.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
So but for Nick and I think it brought us closer together. And see, the hardest thing about, and I have a beautiful friends that also have special needs kids, and we're a really cool support team for each other. So if you have a special needs child, I really recommend you should have some people, like a tribe of that just can understand that concept.
So like find a like small group that is going to journey with you or a support team.
Yeah. Just, you know, somebody that you can kind of
They get it. Because they can shorthand with you, right?
Exactly.
Like they can use the language that you understand.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what we talk about is this is the secret wish and want and need for every parent of a special needs kid is you hope that you'll outlive your child. I hope I can outlive my son, but I'm not going to be able to. You know what I mean? I don't know if he's going to be able to take care of himself as a grown up. And I don't know that who, you know, you always think, what if little brother doesn't marry the person that will allow him to take care of his big brother? It's all those things you kind of process. But so as time, you know, goes on, it's constantly like, it's like having a newborn baby on a daily basis, trying to figure out the next thing.
And surrender the next thing to God, right?
And surrender the next thing to God. Yeah. So you go through a mourning period, right? The dreams you had. And you begin to dream new dreams and you're like, okay, is this achievable? But the reality is they're just that, just dreams. God's going to do what he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? God's going to get his glory. You just have to decide if you want to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get his glory.
Yeah.
My son.
Yeah.
You watch.
Yeah.
With our
absolutely.
Families, with our families. It's
the destiny he has.
The struggles
huge.
That we're feeling, the stuff that we're going, oh, I can't do this. What, God? Why me? Why this? He's going to get his glory.
Oh, yeah.
Watch it unravel and happen.
I just wouldn't be surprised if the autism component is actually a part of what's going to make him his ministry so powerful. Like what you had, the dreams that you had when he was in your womb, the kind of prophetic sense that you had about his life, I think maybe the autism part was essential to that, Jackie, you know?
Yeah.
Because there's a like a walking in the strength of the Holy Spirit that is just going to be so obvious to people. Because I think sometimes when we feel like we can handle stuff on our own, we try to do it on our own. But yeah. when we know that we can't, we're more reliant on the Spirit, and then the Spirit can move through us in a stronger way, you for know? Sure. I always felt inadequate for everything that I did with music, everything I did with my whole ministry journey. But I think because prayer was such a huge component, like in my weakness, God was able to do things that maybe if I had have felt like I was a better singer or I was a, you know, better at this, this and that, or schooled at this, this and that, had gone to training or college for the things that I was doing, then maybe I would have gone, oh, well, I got this. I don't need to pray for it. But when we're like dependent like
sometimes
that.
Ignorance is bliss.
Yeah. But when we're like dependent, we know our need. The Spirit moves so powerfully. We've just got a couple minutes left. Like, is there anything like that we haven't got to either about your faith journey to do with the life interruptions or marriage or parenting that you'd just like people to hear and take away from this time? Just some encouragement for somebody who's sitting at home going, I relate to so much of this, but I'm just in the thick of it. Discovering joy.
Okay, here we go. So this is a tidbit of tip when it comes to marriage.
That'd be great.
The thing I've learned, what I've learned in the 14 and a half years of marriage, always tell the truth.
Yes.
Even if you're scared of what the other person will say.
Yeah.
It's good. Even if you're scared they'll be disappointed, tell the truth.
Yes.
Because without the truth, they can't build the trust.
Yes. So go truth, preach
truth,
it.
Truth, 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 truth. Because
so good.
When you read through scripture, I mean, he talks about lies is the language of hell. So truth, 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 truth. So
girl, that will preach.
And also, the secretive half-truths, like for us in our marriage, it's always been, you just tell me the full truth.
Yes,
don't do the half-truth.
Us too.
Because that's a whole lie.
Yeah.
So just
yeah, there you go.
Truth.
That's good.
Yeah. That's something that for us, we actually learned our first year of marriage. Our biggest fight was something that was only, it was a half-truth, and Nick was the culprit, not me. But, you know, it really hurt me. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember I was pregnant with Zeal, and I was thinking to myself, I cannot be with this man. But, you know, it was something that we learned.
Yeah, early on.
First year of marriage.
Set you up beautifully.
It set us up because, man, I just think to myself, I couldn't live without, you know, a fully trustworthy.
Absolutely. Me too.
Okay. So that's
good.
One thing.
That's great.
Yeah. As far as family and kids go, we can have all these dreams and these concepts, but God is going to interrupt them with what he wants, and what he wants is always best.
Yes.
And we can lie to ourselves and say that we are actually in control and that we know what's best for our children. But the reality is he is going to do what he wants to do with our kids. And we just have to pray over them and constantly cover them with the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
Because that's the true savior. We're not.
Yes.
William Thackeray, make peace. I forget his name, but he said, mother is the word for God on the lips of all little children. Well, to a degree, yes, but we pray God over our children. We pray for covering for our children.
And we're pointing them to him, the true source. Like
to
we're
Jesus.
Yeah. We're pointing them back to him. That's so good.
My youngest son, the other day he was in his bed and he goes, Mom, I think I need to ask Jesus into my heart.
Wow.
And I was like, I was thinking, did you do something really bad?
That's where the mama goes. No. Yeah, it's like, that's where your mind goes. Yeah.
But he goes, I want Jesus to live in my heart.
Wow.
And so I called daddy over. I go, Nicholas, Soren wants to ask Jesus to live in his heart. So we just prayed over him right before he went to sleep. But see, all that stuff, all the things that we're praying over them, that we're speaking into our children, they come to life. And because, I mean, he's the giver of life. So they just, they're constantly building.
Yes.
Constantly building and going. So, and it bubbles over. And, you know, granted, he's 12. But we're all going to make mistakes. They're going to make mistakes. But God is so good in his grace and just always available.
Yes.
But that's it.
That's huge. Girl, there's so much wisdom. There's been so much in this podcast that I feel like are takeaways for me. So thank you, thank you, thank you for sharing your heart and your story and letting us absorb these nuggets of truth that God has shown you through your experiences. Could you just pray over the person that is listening right now? They might be out walking, in the car, at home, and they're just hurting. They're hurting to do with maybe their kids, maybe their faith life, maybe their marriage, and just need encouragement. Can you just pray a covering prayer over them right now as we finish out?
Yes.
Thank you.
Jesus. Father God, thank you for putting up with us. Thank you for pouring your grace on us, and even though we are so not worthy of it, you are so good to us. We thank you, Father, for each and every person listening, for Rebecca, for our families, for our husbands. I pray wisdom for our spouses. I pray wisdom that you will just give them the supernatural wisdom. I pray for our children, for the kids. I pray, Lord, that you would just protect them and guide them. And I pray that you would make yourself known, that you, that they would have their experience, they would experience you in a beautiful way.
Yes, Jesus.
Holy Spirit, thank you for being present in our lives and in our homes, each and every home that is represented. I pray that you would just stay present in each and every home. You are so real and so tangible, and I just love it. You are so awesome. For the mamas, for you, I pray that you would just, Jesus, I pray that you would just pour your love and your affection, and your reminders of how you see us. Pour that out into us, into our souls, into our hearts, and let us see that, let us experience that in a beautiful new way. God, help us to know that we are not in control, but you are.
Yes, Lord.
And that is perfect.
Yes.
Give us the wisdom, and just, I pray that you would just put our steps in the way that you want them.
Yes, Lord.
Ordain our steps, but just do what you want with us.
Yes,
and
Lord.
Give us a clarity. And give us clarity in your timing and in your way. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. My friend, thank you so much for the sweetness of this time and all the beautiful things that you share. This is so special and such special sister time after all these years, and so much redemption and so much good. And if you're listening right now and you've enjoyed this conversation, I just encourage you, especially if you're a busy mama, a busy dad, busy single person, whatever season of your life you're in, I feel like life is busy for all of us. Encourage you to subscribe if you have a minute after this podcast so that you know when a new podcast comes in, because we really want to be a vehicle of encouragement for you in your faith and in your family life, in your journey. And so if this has ministered to you, I just encourage you to do that. But may God bless you today, and we pray that this has been a blessing. Thanks, Jackie, so much.
Thank you.